And then there was something wrong.
Hello and welcome to In the Know with Sohiniwa, highlighting independent artists and their music. I'm your host, Sohiniwa, and I hope everyone is having a lovely evening. But before we get started, for all you artists out there who would like to get your music played on the IL Radio Show, please listen to this.
If you are an artist and you would like to get your music played on the Internet L Radio Show, you may do so by emailing us at ilradio@internetlcnc.com. Again, that email address is ilradio@internetlcnc.com.
All right, everyone. Tonight, my featured guest is IL Radio's in-house music producer, Theri. Theri, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly fine.
Hey, doing great. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a nice week off. So, you know.
Sounds good.
So, what's it like where you're at right now?
What are we talking about?
High,
the weather?
Is it cold? Yeah.
It definitely ain't cold. I'll tell you that. Shoot. It's hot as heck out here. I feel like I'm grilling every day.
Wow. Okay. Well, at least your weather's not bipolar, so. Mm. But by the way you sound, it might be close to it.
So, what's it like out there?
So, Theri, do me a favor. Where are you located at right now?
Right now, I'm in Sacramento, California.
Okay. And if you don't mind me asking, how long have you been there?
I've been here pretty much my whole life. I mean, I made a move out to Boston. I lived in San Diego, lived in a couple of other places at one point in my life, but then I made my way back here. So,
okay.
Yeah, pretty much my life.
So, during that whole time, were you in the process of working on your beats?
So, I actually started working on my music when I was little. I'm talking about back when my brother was rapping, my older brother. And for me, I sucked. I mean, I thought I was the bomb. I thought I was everything, you know. But I knew I wasn't because my brother would always come back. He would listen to it, like, yeah, give me, you know, you'll come to me when, we'll use your beats one day. We'll use your beats one day. It wasn't until one day later, like, as I got older, I'd say like around like maybe like 11, 12, I was working on this beat and he really liked it. And then that's when other people started taking notice. So, yeah.
Okay. So, you really started at a really young age.
Yeah.
So, how did you fall into music, if you don't mind? How did you get your foot in there?
So, I've always loved music, even back from the oldies all the way up till now. Inspirations, you know, from back in the day have got me here from like NWA days, Marvin Gaye, and then from people from like Brian Michael Cox's producers to Dr. Dre, Timbaland. Those people are what got me into music. And then we can't forget about the most beautiful voices that you've ever heard, you know, Minnie Riperton, Mariah Carey, you know, Luther Vandross. All those people made me interested in music. But it wasn't until I actually started listening to my brother rap, you know, and I was like, I could do better than him. that's just where my mind frame always goes. But there's always a certain level of respect, always. It's just that I always have to try to be better. That's just how my mentality is. But that's pretty much what really got me starting with beats, because I wanted to impress him with my music. And so that was my motivation for sure.
All right. So outdoing your brother.
I'm
interesting.
Sorry?
Interesting. I said outdoing your brother. Very interesting.
Yes.
So, the first beat you wrote, how old would you say you were? Your first beat.
The first beat, we're talking about, like, not able to actually use it. Like, it just ain't garbage, like, beat, or my first beat that I made that was good?
Your first beat that you made that was good.
Okay. I'd say my first beat that I made that I was good, when I was, that was actually good, that I could actually sell, if I wanted to, I'd say 13.
Okay. Then let me do this. That beat. You said your brother, did your brother hear that beat or
which beat?
Or
the one that
you said when you were 13.
Yeah, he's heard it.
Okay.
And this is
okay.
What happened. So I literally made the beat and it was a really nice beat. But like, I remember I told you I had that thing where I was still trying to learn. That's what made him interested in me at first. But then when I started making more beats, again, they were hot garbage. That very one of those beats that I made when I was 13, one was one that I could actually sell, and it actually sounded like a real beat. But let me actually change that. It wasn't actually until, I'd say, 14 or around 15 when I made a beat that was completely usable, and he really, really liked it. He actually put it on one of his – he actually laid on the track to it. So I'd say 14, 15. Sorry about that.
Okay. During that time, I'm assuming you were still – working your way on improving your steps of your beats. And when was it, I would say, when your brother actually used one of your actual beats?
If I recall, yeah, it was definitely between 14 and 15. He made a couple of tracks with his group. I believe they were First Count Posse, and two of those tracks were mine. I made a song for them called You Can't Do What I Can't Do. He made a solo song called Lullaby to a beat that I made that actually had a lullaby beat and a nice little drum line. And then he also did another beat that I made. I call it Show Me the Way, and he rapped over it. Came out really, really nice. So I'd say around 14, 15 years. Yeah.
All right. Now, you didn't mention your brother's group, and actually, we will be playing a song of theirs, but it'll be much later on. So, right now...
Oh, this must be a throwback. Oh, my God.
Hey, anything is possible.
Mixing and mastering.
So,
yeah.
So, we're going to surprise you with this. So, what I want to do is... ask you, from the time 13, 14, you were building your sound. Now, I don't know if at that time, for you, if a particular sound or a particular beat or anything came into play, but how did you go about building your beats?
Honestly, it started off with me mimicking people and trying to figure out what really hit home for me. So I would listen to other people's beats and instrumentals, and then I would try to make them. And this is how I got used to understanding cadences, you know, time slots, signatures. And then I started teaching myself how to read and write music at a really young age, around that time. And that's when I started realizing that all that stuff comes in hand, like with music theory and everything. And one person who was really great with music theory was Timbaland. And he plays so many different instruments. And I think that's really what got me to help me produce my sound. Because I mimicked him a lot, but then I went into my own little crazy, I don't know what it was. But the thing is, most people felt like they couldn't rap on it. So I literally started writing my own music to it, like actual songs, to show people how to rap on it. And then I became more... commercialized with how other people make their beats. Started learning how to fall in line. But yeah, I definitely developed my own sound at a young age. So I'd say definitely motivated by Timbaland, for sure.
Okay. So let me say, by the age of the time you were in middle school, how far had you advanced as far as your sound?
In middle school, I was still working on it. That's why I said when I first hit 13, I was thinking about the very first beat I made that, you know, had my brother licking at me or other people too. And they were like, oh, shoot, that's a nice beat. But then the other beats that came forward after that, that rest of that year, it's like I didn't know what I was doing. It's almost like I was just trying to, like, put a bunch of sounds together and make it sound good, because I thought that's what everybody else did. And like I said, it wasn't until I started listening to other people and actually started mimicking other people to where I started understanding cadence and rhythm and, you know, all that. So that had a lot to play with it. So about 14 or 15 is where that all started happening.
Okay. By the time you were in high school.
Yes.
Okay. Where was your sound for your beats? Had you, like you said, learned techniques that led you up to that point? And if so, how would you say it made you a better beat maker?
Just like everything in life, and when I sit here and talk to anybody about anything, failure is something that literally promotes greatness. If you think that you know everything and if you think you know it all, you will never, ever prevail. I'm going to tell you that right now. Nobody starts off being great at anything by just being great. You might have a talent for it, but you have to hone those skills. Failure got me to where I am today with how I can make a beat, and it just sounds incredibly great. And everything else that I do in life, and, you know, that's what I'm going to say is the foundation behind anything. If you can't recognize your failure and if you can't grow from what you did wrong, then you can't produce anything better. And by produce, I don't just mean music. I mean anything in life. I apply that to everything. So,
had you at that time written anything as far as the beat goes for anybody else other than your brother who you said did a song off of one of your beats, but had anybody else heard your beats as far as artist-wise?
Okay. Sorry, I didn't know if you were finished with the question. I apologize. So artist-wise, during that time, I would say that it was only two other people that I actually did an actual track with. And I remember, I can't remember their names because those two were commercial. But I didn't really get paid for that yet. And then everybody else was somebody who wasn't really known yet, and I was just trying. We were just feeding off of each other. So, if I recall, that's pretty much it during that time.
When would you say you realized that you had improved on your technique to where you were able to actually put out actual back-to-back beats so that others could hear them?
I think I know what you mean. So I believe that around 14, 15, I was already pretty improved to where I could actually start making music. But if we're talking about where I could actually give them and put them on tracks and actually people make music off of it, I'd say around 16, 17, yeah. Because between that time, I had already started making beats to the point where I actually had people coming and asking me to make them for them. I was getting paid something small. I didn't understand the business side of it at that time, so I was getting ripped really bad. But the thing is, it's not about that. It's about progression. So I took it as a learning thing. Like I told you, failure first, and then you know, growth later. I'd say like around 16 and 17 to start off with, yeah, because a lot of people were asking me for music.
Okay, well, this is what I want to do. I want to go ahead and play a snippet of your beats. Can get an idea of your sound. So
hopefully you want the better ones and not the older ones.
Well, you'll get to find out here shortly. So this is a snippet of music composed by Theory. Enjoy.
Every Thursday at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time.
All right. So, Theory, did that happen to bring back some old memories for you?
It sure did. And only two of them were from way, way back in the day. I think the rest of them are pretty current, except for one. It was like kind of a couple, like 5 or 6 years ago. But a lot of those other ones are like only 1 or 2 years old. So, yeah. Well,
okay.
Two of them, I think. I can definitely hear the progression.
Exactly. And as we noticed, each one had a different style to the beat itself. So my next question is, how do you go about creating your beats?
The honest truth is I usually don't really have a system. For me, there's no system. It's more like if I feel something, I just go ahead and do it. I might start off with the piano. I might have a tune in my head. I might just be walking down the street and hear two garbage cans clashing together, and I might like the way it sounds, so I might want to make a drum line off of it and then take the sound and use it for myself. So there's really no system. But I can tell you this. If I ever hear a song on the radio or infomercial, like there's this one beat that I made literally off of a Victoria's Secret infomercial. And I liked the little bass line in there so much that I wanted to incorporate it into a beat. And I ended up making this really nice beat, which I would love to show for y'all. I just wish I had it. I should have actually had it ready, but yeah, my brother ended up recording me actually singing to the actual beat, and he actually loved how it turned out. We just never did anything with it, so, yeah.
Okay.
But that's pretty much how, yeah. So there's no system. It's just if I hear it and I'm feeling something, I lay it down. Sometimes it takes only an hour. Sometimes it takes 3 days. Sometimes it takes a whole month. And Sunday, but most of the time it's like a day or two.
Just comes to you.
Yep. Yeah. Or, you know, also people always come in. Yeah, it just comes to me. And then I have to remember you hear music on the radio every single day. Like, it's really, really hard to make your own beat when you hear music all the time. So for me, another process I use, sometimes I go a whole month without listening to the radio, or I'll take like maybe a week without listening to the radio and then work on beats from scratch, because then I don't have anyone else's beat in my head. Because what I've noticed is when I keep listening to the radio and when I'm making beats, I'll be like, this beat sounds familiar. And I'll go play it for someone, like, hey, bro, you just made that Rick Rock beat or that new Dr. Dre. I'm like, you're right, bro. Let me stop, bro. Let me take a go back and then, you know, regroup, because that happens all the time. This is why we have a lot of beats that sound so similar right now. Yeah, I don't think people ever take that break and just stop listening to other people's stuff and then remember who you are. So, yeah, that's another thing I do.
I like the fact that you said you take a week off of music, listening to the radio, doing anything, and you create your own beats from scratch. I mean, that alone shows your progression as a beat maker. Where, for you, would you say you fall as an actual beat maker? Because you have mentioned Dr. Dre and others. They also make beats for others. So when did you realize that this was something that you wanted to do 110%?
Okay. First, I want to start off by saying I've had my ups and downs with making music, and it's only because at some point in time I realized that I love to write music as well. So it's almost like I didn't make a beat until I would write music or until somebody would ask me for a beat. However, I will always have that passion for making beats no matter what. The other thing I want to say is there's beat makers and then there's producers. I went from being a beat maker to becoming a producer. A beat maker is someone who makes beats, hands down, that's it. They make a beat, and then they tell somebody, hey, you want this beat? You want this? I made that transition from a beat maker to a music producer when I was able to make a beat, have somebody tell me what they want, and me orchestrate it for it, and when I was able to orchestrate how people sing and how they actually melodize everything and compose music to my actual music. That's when I realized that I had the capability of actually being a music producer. So like I said, these people like Dr. Dre, Timbaland, Jazzy Faye, DJ Cali, all those people, they are music producers. They can orchestrate. I think anybody that can't orchestrate or anyone that can't tell a singer how to sing or rap or do this on a track is just a beat maker. And there's no disrespect to either one of them. They're both beautiful. It's just that there's definitely a line. I do believe that I became a music producer, and I do believe it is an elevation, because then you start caring about how people sound on your work. And then that in turn makes you a better beat maker, producer, whatever you want to call it. So I think I fall, if I was to put 110% into it, just like all these other beautiful music producers and artists, I do believe I would have been commercial if I wanted to be. I've even had a chance to be, but I like working independent with independent artists. It's not about the money for me. I want to give people a good sound to rap and sing to. So, and I hope I answered the question. I just thought it was important to explain the difference between a beat maker and a producer. So again, I can orchestrate pretty much anything. So, yeah.
No, and I appreciate you for that. Because of you doing both at one time, making beats and now becoming a music producer, I appreciate you letting my audience know how each works and how your transition took place. So I really do appreciate that. Now, going back to you being an actual beat maker, back when you were younger, which we talked about, when would you say you transitioned over from making beats to becoming an actual producer? How long ago would you say that transition took place?
I would love to say that it took place when I was in high school. And it, actually, it did take place when I was in high school. But I want to, but the, I'm going to base it off of when I actually coordinated an actual whole either album or actually a whole song without just making the beat. So I'm going to say when I was in my early 20s. So it was, I had went to San Francisco for a while when school came out, and somewhere along the line, there were people who were asking me to make beats. And so I make the beats, but I wasn't satisfied with just that. I realized that I could do a lot more. Like I told you, I started teaching myself how to read and write music. I started learning music theory, and it helped me understand a lot about what I was doing wrong. It also made the steps a lot easier. And so I took a chance. Whenever somebody would sing or rap on a beat that I was making, or whatever, somebody would ask me to make one, I would ask them, hey, do you mind if I help you write something to it? I mean, this sounds good, but I feel like this will sound better. And they'll literally look at me, and some people used to be like, nah, bro, I know how to do my thing. And I'm like, all right. So they'll do it, and it sounds good, but I feel like I always felt like something was missing, so I'll keep trying. A producer's job is to make their artist better. A producer's job is to make sure that, you know, whatever is on that track complements, both are complemented. A beat maker just makes the beat and issues out the beat. So like I said, that's the difference. And it was around that time, early 20s, where I realized that, yeah, I need to be more than just a beat maker. I have to orchestrate. I have to be there. I have to be in the line of fire, helping people understand how to compose right to the music.
Okay. With that transition, I know there are different genres of music, and I'm not sure at that time that was something you were thinking about for yourself as when you were writing your beats and then asking these artists if you could help them. Was there a certain particular genre you were looking at, or if that came much later on?
So I hope I understand and I answer correctly. I think I understand. I'm going to say I literally started off with R&B, and R&B, for some reason, resonated more with me, and pop. And then I had to learn that how to turn my R&B beats into rap beats, because every time I would make a rap beat, it would be it would always come out sounding R&B-ish. So that was the toughest part for me. But once I started learning how to make hip hop and rap beats, and when I really tested myself, oh man, it was great. It felt good. So yeah, in the beginning, it started off as R&B, and then I became more diverse. I even got to the point where I wanted to start making techno, and then I started making dubstep. I started teaching myself little things like that. But my all-time favorite is R&B, and, you know, because there's something about, and jazzy type beats. There's something about listening to music and hearing someone sing or, you know, just compose a beautiful melody over something that I composed. So, that I love listening to. But trust and believe, I love hip-hop and rap, and I can make a rap beat all day. I get people dancing, get people going, all that. So.
Oh, all right. Now, you're composing.
Mm-hmm.
When you actually made a full song, when would you say that time frame took place? Where were you at? Were you in your early 20s, mid to late 20s? When you completed an actual full song?
That was definitely 20s, like early 20s. Like I told you, I was working on stuff for my brother. I was working on stuff for some independent artists, and a couple of beats. I mean, these are when I started actually getting paid for beats. I mean, so I was working on a couple of things. I don't recall any of the artists because most of them were just, they pay me, I make the beat, boom, it's done. So I never really messed with any mainstream artists. I never got a chance to go that route because I was always in and out of producing because I've done a lot of other stuff as well. But I am definitely a producer at heart. So definitely my early 20s. Yeah. When
okay.
I worked on a full song, full scale, multiple times, yeah. Early 20s.
All right, so what I want to do is I want to play one of your songs.
Okay.
So,
with this one.
The song I'm going to be playing for you is called Blast Off, and it's by First Count Posse.
Trying to reach more on the stars, get on our level.
All right, everyone, that song I just played was Blast Off by First Count Posse, and it was produced. All right, Jerry.
Okay.
This beat. What inspired this beat for you?
Well, we were playing around, and they was talking about Blast Off. So I wanted it to sound hecka weird, for one, because it's like you're going into space. But, you know, their whole concept behind the whole thing was, you know, that's what it was. It was supposed to be eerie, murky, and I think that's what attracted them to it mostly. And I had to make some tweaks to the beat once I heard it was Blast Off. So, yeah, I mean, nothing really inspired. It was actually a pre-made beat, and then we just worked in the kinks. We worked out, we put more stuff in, took some stuff out, and then Blast Off.
Okay. Now, for this beat, how old were you when you produced? When you did this one?
Yeah, I do not remember completely when I was. Why do I feel like I was? I don't know why, but for some reason I feel like this was before the 20s, because I know I made that beat. Yeah, I honestly couldn't tell you, but it doesn't. I don't believe that I was in my 20s when I made that. That might have been either right after high school or somewhere around there.
Okay. Well,
I really like that beat, and I just wish everybody could really hear it in the best quality can, because I really love how all the drums and everything came out, especially the sounds in the background. They switch from the both left and ear when you're listening to it out loud, and it's pretty cool. But what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, with this particular beat, how long would you say it took you? I mean, because you say you can't really remember how old you were when you wrote it, but do you kind of remember how long it took you to make it?
Yeah, I remember all my beats. And like I told you, sometimes it only takes a few hours. Sometimes it takes 24 hours. Sometimes it takes a month. Sometimes it takes, you know, a few days. This one, if I recall, I made it. It was a pre-made beat. So I make the beat, and then I have people listen to it. I'm pretty sure, if I recall, it only took me about a day. And then it came down to adding the extra stuff and taking out stuff, probably just a few extra hours. So this one only took me about maybe a day and a half, I'd say, altogether. I guess we shouldn't include mixing and mastering, because I didn't do that part for this beat. That was all dub beat.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I better really have to make that beat.
With you on this particular song, you really didn't say there was a concept behind it when you made it. Because you said it was pre-made. When you made it, let me scratch that. With this particular song, what made it stand out to you? Let me put it that way.
With the song, or when I was making the beat?
When you were making the beat. Because I'll get to the song in a minute.
So I guess when I was making the beat, when I first started making it, I probably didn't like it. Sometimes I don't really like what I'm doing until I get to the middle of it. I just have an idea of what I'm doing. And the reason why it's hard for me to like it sometimes is because I'm just laying down a foundation. If I start off with a drum line, most drum lines end up sounding the same, so I can't really get into it. I'm just like, I'm on a drum line. And I remember starting off with a drum line for this beat. However, if I start off with the background music, like, you know, the, or like the pianos, all that stuff, not the bass line and all that stuff gets me motivated and gets me hyped, and sometimes it's a lot easier to make it. So I'd say I realized that I was enjoying the beat, and it became really fun, probably sometime in the middle when I started adding the instruments to go with the drum line and that bass line for sure. So I just love how the bass line followed the drums.
Okay. Now, once you got the bass line, the drums, everything together, the song itself, producing side of it, how long would you say it took to get it laid? The whole song. How long would you say it took you to get the track made?
That's including their composition onto the track?
No, just you alone, just your portion of the song. How long did it take you to get it fully laid out?
I'll say it in steps. So fully, I'll say when I got done with the beat before I actually started taking stuff out, I'd say about a day. And then when I started actually completing the actual track, I'd say, like I said, it was ended up being about a day and a half altogether. So from start to finish, the whole beat was done in a day and a half.
Okay. Now, once they laid their composition onto it, how long did it take you?
At that time, when they laid their composition, they took the beat and then did their thing. So I told you, like, back then when I first started out, I literally sometimes would just, like I said, the difference between a beat maker and then a producer, you orchestrate stuff. At that point in time, I was a beat maker. Not saying I didn't try to produce and didn't consider myself a music producer, but people, especially rappers do not like to have ghostwriters, and rappers don't like to be orchestrated. So they take the beat and then they, you know, put their stuff on it. So that process is all them, the mixing and mastering part. And if I needed help, if they needed help with the mastering part, I would help that too, the engineering side. But my brother, Dub B, he actually did that part. The vocals and all that stuff, that was all them.
Okay. Now, because you were a beat maker at this particular time, I said at this particular time, on this particular track or song, you would consider yourself to have been a beat maker, is what you're telling me.
I'd say I was acting in the capacity as a beat maker because they most, like I said, it's funny, rappers do not want you, don't like to use ghostwriters. And it's really, really hard to get a rapper to say, like, when you hear a rapper rapping and you hear something and you're like, bro, that's garbage. I don't like that. You know, I don't want to take down their motivation. So the only time I'll say something is hot garbage or I'll say it's garbage is if it's really garbage. So my thing is, and I mean, everybody can agree. So yeah, you got to scratch that, bro, because you're not playing that. You're not about to sit there and rap that over my beat, one that you ain't paid for that's leased to you. We going to make sure you get heard. So I think, like I said, at that point in time, I was acting in the capacity of a beat maker because I made the beat. I dished off the beat. They did their magic. I didn't have no say in anything else.
So, okay.
But at that time, I would say that I did have the capacity to be a musical producer because I would always talk to everybody about do's and don'ts, and by far be it me to tell somebody how to actually lay down a track. But I realized, yes, sometimes it can be very helpful because some people don't know what they're doing. They just know that they have a talent and they don't know how to actually put it out there the right way. So that's when I realized, yeah, it's very useful to have people who know how to compose and who understand how rhythm works when making and composing music.
Okay. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to play another one of your songs.
Okay.
I'm assuming this is a much older song. So
okay.
This is Free, and it's by The Corporation.
Walking forward, hoping that the good times they will be blessed with. Cause I know one day that I'll rise to the top, floating in space. Now I'm shining with the stars. But at this time, I'm deep below the gutter. But I'm eating out here, you know I'm getting myself a success. I gotta hustle to get paid, then I'm hustling. But now I'm older and I'm battling with my mind. And I wonder if I should shut the blinds on committing crimes. And then I just be guided by my rhymes. If I did, then maybe I would live that good life. I was born to carry the title of West, like Kanye, bring more heat
than the best brain. But every time I try to leave the street, they pull me back in. Like a dog on a leash, and they just keep banging. But the day is coming when I grow strong enough to break it.
See, we had a hard life, messed up so many times. Now it's time to get right, cause the chains that were shackled to us bound to wear out over time. And when they do, we'll really be able to break loose and just fly. Soaring through the sky so high, cause the heavens been with us, it resides in our mind. But on this hill called earth, we've been placed here to grind. But once we've achieved peace, then we'll leave the front line. Cause now we
welfare, three kids, one room. Only broken promises that we'll be leaving hell soon. Victim mothers been called life, and that ain't even cool. Sharing the same club with your brother just to go to school. Don't be your school, play the rules and every obstacle in life. Wishing I had a dad that loved me more, he loved the pipe. Inside I'm my hype, but outside caused me to fight. So stuck up in the street, game fashion with the lights, looking for the older homies as a guidance through the night. Never sleep, eyes open with my bundle held tight. Like why or how they come to this? Hustling to make my money when I'm trying to go legit. All I do is want to be chosen, business bestowed upon me. So I'm feeling in my veins, I never felt the IV. But it's all good, cause this rap is my only dream. If I don't feel nothing, I'ma forever feel.
See, we had a hard life, messed up so many times. Now it's time to get right, cause the chains that were shackled to us bound to wear out over time. And when they do, we'll really be able to break loose and just fly. Soaring through the sky so high, cause the heavens been with us, it resides in our mind. But on this hill called earth, we've been placed here to grind.
It's
but
burn.
We'll leave achieve peace and we'll leave the front line.
I wish that I could be free from the
street, from the street,
free from the hood,
free of this heat.
I'm on a mission, but my mission's incomplete.
Incomplete.
I learned how to cook,
it's beaming,
so I know how to eat.
Now
so now
down.
I'm living with no mom, no dad.
No dad.
Didn't know back then, man, I wish I had.
I wish good,
cause all I got left is the hood. Can I get out, man?
Man.
I wish I could,
then I'd be
free of the past. My homie almost gonna die in that car crash. But at last, now he's doing better. While I'm out here struggling just to get the cheddar. Now I'm living like free. I'm trying to be all that I could truly be. Gotta pass the test, gotta bring the best to me. All I'm trying to do is live my life feeling so.
Yeah, you know life has all the struggles and pains. But just sit down, pray for better days and maybe things will change. I know Miles probably think you up to no good in the hood, but try to make her think something else. And maybe you'll be free one day. Us, as people, as humans, gotta stay together. Just sit down and pray.
Hey, my name is Al, and you are now listening to In the Know with Ohiniwa, highlighting independent artists in their music.
Hey, like that beat too.
All right, everyone, that song I just played was Free, and it was by The Corporation, and it was produced by Theory. All right, Theory, that particular song. How did you go about making the beat for that one?
So this one was more, they said they wanted something more upbeat. Honestly, I'm not going to lie, I didn't even really like the beat personally. I am very, very honest, okay? When I told them about the beat, I told them I didn't like it, but I know how they sounded on it. And when I heard what they were doing to it, then I realized, okay, well, it doesn't matter whether I like it or not. I like what they're doing to it. And I got the concept that they were trying to go for. You know, it was a really good message. So, and the only thing I could say that I actually like mostly about that beat specifically is the song. That's it. That was my favorite part of it. But the song was good. I love the song.
Okay. So, for this particular song and beat that you created, how old were you when you created this one?
Yeah, I made that beat with them. I'd say that was still early 20s. Yeah. I don't know exactly what age, but definitely early 20s.
Okay. Now, between Free and Blast Off, which beat did you make first?
But I said, I'm pretty sure that was made before, that was done before my 20.
Okay. Now, with this particular one, since you said you didn't like this, you didn't like the beat, which is very strange, because I was vibing through the whole song.
A lot of other people like it, but go ahead, sorry.
I mean, I was sitting here dancing, but you truly didn't like the beat at all?
I love every single beat that I make. However, I do have preference, and I have a preference on the beats that I like the most. Like, did you hear that infomercial that, like, right after that free beat played? Did you hear when Elle was talking in her thing? You heard the song that was playing in the background?
Yes.
That is one of my favorite beats, and it's a nice little club beat. And I actually sold and leased out a couple of them, and I've got had the pleasure of actually listening to somebody make a song to it. It actually came out pretty good. I don't know if they did anything with it, but that's one of my favorite beats. That was done by me as well.
Okay, so the infomercials for L, that's your beat as well.
Yeah, that one that was just playing right after free, right at that little snippet thing before it came back into you, that beat in the background was mine, yeah. It's one of my newer beats as well. That's
okay.
All good. I hopefully get to hear a lot of new stuff and hear some music from the new, because, yeah, I would love that definitely too.
All right. So, you as a beat maker, at times, because at times you still make your beats, but you also produce a lot of your own music as well. Now, the corporation, do you still write music for them? Are they still together?
Unfortunately, and definitely not by choice. No, they ended up having some, not necessarily some problems, that the group had to separate for their own personal reasons. And they did talk about coming back together. And I don't know if that will ever happen, but if it does, it would be nice. But I think they all ended up doing their own individual thing. And do I know what happened from there? No, but I know one of them is my younger brother. He goes by SAV. And the other one, the corporation, his name is Young Burn, and then Man. And I believe they're all talented. So, I mean, I just hope that wherever they are right now, besides my brother, I know where he's at. The other two, I just hope that they are happy with what they're doing, because I really enjoyed a lot of the music that they made. So, yeah, with that being said, no, I am no longer working with the corporation. No.
Okay. Do you, at this time, besides working as the in-house producer for the IL radio show, do you work with anybody else at this time? Or is it just IL radio?
No, I don't work with anyone else at this time. I only work directly with IL. And but I lease my music offline, and people buy it all the time. And people still come up to me asking for music, and I am literally probably about to start getting into jingles maybe at some time, so I don't have to, you know, because I'm just curious how that would go. But people still come up to me asking me to make beats, and I usually just give them my pre-made music because I have a lot of it. And I'm not talking about the old school music. I'm talking about my library and like from maybe 5 years ago till now. That whole library still exists, and I'm, you know, basically still making money pretty much off of that.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play another one of your songs. Now, this song is a much newer song.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder which one.
This is Same Old Shit by Mackenzie Mazin.
Mm-hmm. can I say? It was a day, and now I'm wondering just why I feel this way. It all goes slow, before you know, motivation slips away and nothing can be done. If you wanted to know me better, stick around and you'll believe that a brain can be a funhouse mirror. Stop and take a laugh, that's a good time fast, fast. As it crawls up my spine on the merry-go-round, hold tight to the mane, here we go, go again. Same old shit, brain is split. Same old shit, can't say that you feel it, it just ain't it. Don't you say it, we don't have the same brain. Not on the same ride. Typical, so natural. Like you, I just can't jump off of the attraction. It could be this, it could be that. I'm just thinking about the possible reaction. Pretend I can fly as the Ferris wheel rolls, hoping that's enough to forget, forget it's rough. Same old shit, brain is split. Same old shit, can't say that you feel it, it just ain't it. Don't you say it, we don't have the same brain. Not on the same ride. I wanna scream out, but it's an inconvenience. Even though it's so loud, they can't hear me anyway. I need to get out, I think I'm getting seasick if I could lay down. But there's no ground. Same old shit, brain is split. Same old shit, brain is split. Come back soon.
All right, everyone, that song I just played was Same Old Shit by Mackenzie Mazin. How did you come up with the beat for Same Old Shit?
Okay, first off, to claim this one, this was a part of my contest that I did about a year ago. It was the Smash the Beat contest, which I actually plan on restarting one of these days. I just want to get there, but in the meantime, So she basically was the winner, and I wish that people could really hear. Oh my God, because the phone does not do her justice. I even heard it kind of like you can hear glitches in there, but there's no glitch. There's none of that. It is pure, and it was a really beautiful sound. Now, the song was crazy, but when you really listen to the lyrics, I'm telling you, everything she's saying makes sense, and I love her metaphors. This is one of the reasons why she won the contest, so as well as her vocals and those harmonies. But, sorry, I think I want to make sure that I didn't stem from the question, but basically, yeah, I really enjoyed that song. Did I answer the question? I'm sorry. That's how much I actually... Like, enjoyed her vocals.
You did.
Okay, just making sure, yeah. I was really proud because the contestants that were a part of that, too, every last one of them said that contest helped them.
in some way, shape, or form. And that's what it was supposed to be. It's supposed to be an independent thing where people can come and not be afraid, and then they can compete, know what it's like to compete, and get a feel for what it's like to just be randomly do things, because that's what you're gonna, what it's going to be like when you're out there. People are going to ask you to do stuff on the spot. People are going to need you to do this, do that. And then on top of that, you're probably going to be a part of a couple of contests anyways to get your voice out there. But, yeah, and she, this is her very first time ever doing anything like this. So that made it that much more amazing. The runner-up, she actually did an amazing job, too. Her name is Renee. She was the second runner-up, and her song was really nice as well. But the quality was just, we didn't make a ring because of the quality. But, yeah, it was really fun. We had a lot of fun.
And this was on your Smash the Beats contest, you said?
Yeah, this was on my Smash the Beat contest, I want to say 2 years ago? Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Her sound is unique.
Yes, very.
For this beat, I was like, okay.
It had to be a unique beat, too, because it couldn't just be... That I made 5 or 6 beats for the contest. Maybe, no, actually I made 10. But I only put 5 out there for each of the contestants to choose from. We had 4 finalists, and each of them chose a different beat. And, you know, like I said, they all had a chance to do whatever they wanted, and she picked one, and yep, that beat was one of the most eerie beats I've ever made. It doesn't even sound R&B-ish. It doesn't sound pop-ish. It doesn't sound like alternative. It's just like a mixture of a bunch of stuff. And that's actually who she is. She's just very diverse. So.
Okay. Particular beat. Right here. Because you say you put 10 out, but you only chose 5. For this particular beat, how long did it take you to create this beat?
A couple of days. I know it wasn't more than, yeah, because I worked on it, and the whole structure was down. I just kept adding to it. Then I decided when it was done. So I'd say a couple of days. I would say one day, but since I kept adding to it, yeah. I'm just going to say like 3 or 4 days.
All right. And why was that, may I ask you?
Why?
That you just kept adding to it, the structure.
One was because of the contest, and I wanted to make sure that it fit her voice and that she enjoyed it. She wanted it to sound like a merry-go-round. But this was way later, during the end of the contest. But before then, when I very first made the beat, I didn't have long because I wanted to make sure that all the beats were fresh. So I'd say within that whole 2 weeks to a month leading up into the contest, I made all 10 of the beats fresh. And then I picked about 5 out of them to put in there. So I'd say, yeah, roughly about 3 to 4 days. And I apologize. Did I answer the question?
In a way, because I asked you what made this one unique in its own way.
Yeah.
So you did go ahead and explain the process of how long it took. But I asked you about adding the layers.
Gotcha.
For this particular beat.
Yeah, I get lost when talking about it because it really actually made me feel good to know how much I touch these artists. So that's what it's bringing me back to when we all had our little talks and everything. So now the layers on this beat, what made me want to keep adding to it is because every time that I heard something, I just felt like something, it was just missing something. And then it got to a point where I realized that certain points that were hitting were probably hitting too much, so I took some stuff away, and then I just wanted it to be as subtle as possible, but have a nice little hit. So I brought that in with the nice little drum. I didn't add a bass line in there because I didn't feel like it needed one. And, yeah, that's pretty much what it was. A little give and take over the few days.
Okay. Now, since you did the beat and you did the contest, we put another little snippet together for you.
Okay.
Of some of your songs. And I want to talk to you about them before I play them.
Okay.
So, the first song that is part of the snippet is What I Give, What I'll Give. What was that song about, if you don't mind me asking?
Okay. So, we had our very first contest the year before. And what happened was, that was a part of the Smash the Beat contest, but the year before with rappers. And our artist, I mean, the artist that won that, he basically was the only person who did everything he was supposed to do as far as turning in their music, as far as being there on time, as far as doing all that. So instead of getting all these other artists who didn't do anything on time, didn't do anything right, and this boy is 16, by the way. This 16-year-old boy trumped them and had all his stuff ready, had it ready to go, all that. So we said, man, forget about the contest. Let's just let him do his thing. Let's make him the winner. Because it didn't really make any sense when we had these grown people who couldn't get their stuff in on time. And for me, it showed a lot of character. So we let him do his thing. And that's where that song came from. We needed him to make at least a song so we could, you know, have something. And that's what it was.
Okay.
And he was the inspiration. He inspired himself to write that song to the beat that I actually made for him. And we made the beat around what he made, what he actually did. So I did kind of orchestrate a little bit.
Okay. Okay. Now, the second song snippet is "Times Away" by Renee the Muse. What was the concept behind that song?
Now, like I said, this was during the contest, the second contest with Mackenzie Mason.
Okay.
Renee the Muse was the second runner-up. She's pretty amazing. She actually still does her like a lot right now. And she, I'd say that the inspiration behind that, I really just enjoyed how, you know, it had like funky, like hard-hitting, nice, new school but old school rhythm to it, and it felt good to listen to. So with her voice, I felt like it would be perfect, and I thought it was perfect. I actually thought that she might pick that beat, so I was actually right. I was wrong about Mackenzie, though. I didn't know what beat she was gonna pick, but I got hers right. And that's how that went.
All right, and then the third song on the snippet is Friend Zone by Trinity.
Friend Zone, she's a great singer, and she's a wonderful jazz player. She plays the trumpet, I believe, and she's really, really good. Or the saxophone, I'm sorry. Now, outside of that, I wrote a little bit of the song, if I recall. I mean, and she wrote most of it, and then I made the whole beat. I love the beat. What got me inspired to do that was a pre-made beat. And I was literally sitting in my car making this beat, believe it or not. I wasn't at my house. I wasn't anywhere. I plugged in my laptop, and I was sitting over by where, you know, my kids were, you know what I'm saying? And at this time, I was just sitting at the park. And I just made the beat, literally. Everybody was coming around me, vibing around the car, and, you know, I really love that beat, actually. But I will say this, the mixing and mastering on it and the timing, we never got a chance to actually, you know, fulfill it, put it to make it great. But I think it still at least came out pretty good. And like I said, she's a great artist as well.
Okay. So what I want to do is I want to go ahead and play a snippet of those songs.
Okay.
So the snippets of songs composed by Sherry.
Thank you. I'm a beating for a long time. Bumpy ride, so I wonder we get a smooth flight. Yeah, state is important, but I'm still high. Airplane on rage night, maybe stay by. I don't care every time. TikTok with a dumb hype. Babies for life first. Stay in, save life. Fuck love, I don't care what you say, nice. Got a blast from the past, this is what I say, right?
You're a weirdo, is being your fucking self, like, period, point blank. Like, you're just you, regardless if you love me or hate me. Because at the end of the day, if you hate me, you still love me because you know everything about me.
Got love, but I lost the pain. Just know that I come from the rain. I'll be fine, high as hell one day.
One day!
Got love, but I lost.
My name is Baba Kiya, and I'm from the Children of Adam band. You're listening to In the Know with Oheniwa.
Okay.
All right. That was a snippet of songs composed by Siri. So, each one was unique in their own way, because two of them were from your contest, and those were songs that you put out there, and they chose those songs or that beat for the contest. Mm-hmm. And then I'm assuming Friend Zone was just a beat that you wrote for Trinity, correct?
Kind of correct. I didn't write it for Trinity. What happened was I put my beats out there for people to listen to, and that beat, it's a funny story. I had a friend at work who actually wanted to buy the beat off of me, but they literally only wanted to pay me $150 for it. The problem with that is they wanted all the rights to it, and I wouldn't mind leasing it to them for like $25 or something. But he literally wanted me to only pay that much. He wanted to pay only $100 for it. And my thing is, I am worth a lot more than that, and that beat was worth a lot more than that. So when I talked to Trinity about it, me and her came up with something because she really enjoyed the way the beat sounded. And I said, I'll tell you what, you can lease it. You ain't got to pay for it. Let's just see what kind of song you can make to it. Because I was writing a song called Friend Zone. I wrote a song called Friend Zone, then she wrote a song called Friend Zone, and then I, you know, kind of, she piggybacked a little bit, and then she actually came up with her own thing. And, yeah, that's how we got to that. And as far as the other two, yeah, they picked the beat, and then everything from there, I mean, it just worked. I also would like to say something about Renee's song, too. The reason why she was getting the runner-up, I believe that a lot of people really enjoyed her song, but the quality just wasn't there. And that's why she couldn't win. But her song was really, really good. And when she repeated it back to me, without the music and all that, it sounded so good. But with the music, it sounded okay, and that was the problem. So, I mean, it sucks, though. But Mackenzie Mason, like I said, she ended up winning, but it was a good time. The artist from the first contest, he's a really, really great talent. And he's just back and forth about who he is. You know, he never really found specifically who he is. And he has somebody that he idolizes, and it shows in his music. But when he finds himself, I think that's going to make him, oh my God, a talent, a force to be reckoned with. I'm telling you.
Well, it seems like you found these artists, the two based off, well, the three, because of Mackenzie, the three based off of the contest. And then Trinity, she reached out to you about, and they all turned around and they turned your beats into something different. And it shows in their music. With all you've done as far as a beat maker and then transitioning over to being a music producer, which one would you say is the hardest?
Was the hardest? Being a beat maker was the hardest. It was the hardest because I had to listen to people telling me that it wasn't good enough. I had to listen to people saying, hey, you need to get better. But as I told you before, failure is a beautiful thing, because when you fail at something, what it's supposed to do is inspire you to keep going. Some people don't have that backing, that following to, you know, do that. Me personally, I don't need it, and I've never needed it. However, I love the fact that I always had people rallying around me, telling me whether I was good or not. I guess I'm just fortunate as far as that goes, not having to deal with that mind state. But can you repeat the question one more time? Yeah,
which
I went off
the
table. I wanted to say something I know is important.
Was my question being a beat maker or the music producer? Since you've done both now.
So I've done both. Being a beat maker was harder because I had to deal with all that, okay? So deal with people and their opinions. Failing now, if I fail at making a beat, there is no failure because I know what I'm doing. I know what I need to do, and I know how to make it better without no problems. If somebody doesn't like something I do, I can easily say, hey, what do you want me to do to fix it? And I know what to do it. So now it's very easy. So, yeah, being a beat maker compared to a producer, if, like I said, it's very easy now compared to back then. And it's not just about experience either. Literally, it's easier because I know what to do. I guess you could say, yeah, experience, man. Because you can be an experienced beat maker, but being able to understand how the flow and rhythm and how everything works with music is a lot better than not knowing. I forget what I'm saying. Remember, I said the difference between being a beat maker and a music producer. So, yeah, it's definitely a lot easier to be a music producer than a beat maker, in my opinion. You don't have to deal with people's opinion because you know you're good. So,
is there anything out there or anything else out there that you're working on that you would like to talk about this evening?
Oh, I have a lot of things. So I started, during COVID, I started screenwriting. I started writing a play, and I'm actually a freelance artist. Most people don't know because I started doing music, and that's all they know theory by. And I can draw pretty much anything. I drew these characters. I used to draw comic book characters, and I decided to start writing because I really wanted to write. So I came up with two screenplays so far. And one of them is called Taz, which is based off the characters that I draw. And the other one is called The Seed of the Killer, which is just something I came up from scratch. So, I mean, right now, those are the two things I'm working on as far as that goes with screenwriting. Right now, I also am, I did have a website, but I took it down, and I actually make custom bags, clothing, and a whole bunch of stuff for people. Anything that you need customized, I can customize. You tell me what you want, I got it. And I do it directly from my site. I'm getting to a point where I want to actually have my own machines in my house for embroidery and screen printing and all that, but that's later on down the line. For now, if you need a bag, you need some custom work done, I'll let you work, you know. Now, and then the last thing, which I'm actually kind of proud of right now, I am a security guard, and I literally have become more proud of that because I've been standing up for my coworkers' rights. So I work with the union. What they do is they come together and they help protect all the coworkers that are under the union from problems, operation problems, wages that we're not supposed to, that we're not getting, benefits that we're not getting. They help us get that. When we're being treated unfairly, they help us fight that. And the thing is, when you say the word union, union means anyone paying union dues. We have reps and lawyers that help us as reps. But everybody doesn't understand that a union, that's what a union is. It's everybody together that pays union dues. And so I've been really proud of that because I've been helping get bills started. I've been helping people, my team right now with our CBA, which is our contract, so we can get better negotiations for wages and health benefits and all that. So that's been really great. So, yeah, and that's pretty much it as far as that goes.
Okay. Now, you say you do custom work, like bags and clothes and stuff like that. Does that company have a name, I should say?
So when I do my hats, So the hats and everything, I did have it under DMD, which means Drape My Dome. So anytime somebody buys a hat, I want them to use the lingo, Drape My, I wasn't going to say that, Drape My Dome. Because I want their head to be fitted. However, all this is under Native Elite, which is my actual parent company for my clothing brand. All the custom work that I do, it can be under either name, Native Elite or DMD, but Native Elite is the parent company.
Okay. And how long have you been doing the clothing line?
So I've had the clothing line for a while. I'd say like, professionally, two years. Before then, it was just an idea. I didn't know where I wanted to go with it. And I'm going to be honest with you. I still don't know what I want to do with my clothing line, which is why I stopped it, because I want to make sure that when I actually put it out there, I want to put it out there the right way. So right now, I'm just doing custom work. When I do eventually officially launch it again, my website will be back up, and I'll be doing that specifically for my brand. But right now, I'm just doing custom work for everybody else until I get back to that point.
Well, it seems like you have a lot going on.
Mm. You don't.
Besides the in-house work for IL Radio. And I want to thank you for being on with me this evening, Terry. Is there anything you would like to say to anybody out there before we go?
Well, first off, I just want to say thank you for having me on your show. And it is much appreciated. And I want to say out there to anybody that has any form of talent or anybody out there that is a procrastinator, because I am an avid procrastinator. This is why I'm not as big as I should be. I'm going to tell you, if you have a talent and you love doing something, stick with it, start with it, finish it, move on. Don't do a whole bunch of things at once, because that was my problem. And this is why I wasn't able to get anywhere. Start it. Stick with it, finish it, one thing at a time. And if you feel like you can multitask, then do that. But me, I had to learn how to multitask, and I wish I had just started sticking with one thing when I was younger, just one thing. I could never do it. Now that I can do it, it feels pretty damn good. So if you want to make it, and if you have a desire or a dream, follow it. But remember, stick with that one thing first, and then hone it, make it beautiful, make it as great as you can. And then execute it flawlessly. So when people look back on at you, and when people look back at your work, they can say, you know what, man, yeah, he was a great art. He was a great mind. He was a great everything, as opposed to the person who took on too many tasks and couldn't complete one, because that's who I was. but I'm no longer that person. That's what I'd like to say to anybody out there who needs any motivation or who doesn't even know who they are. You'll find it that way, I promise you.
Well, Terry, I thank you again for being on with us this evening, and you have a nice night.
You as well. Thank you.
All right. I want to thank all my listeners. Make sure to check out the IL Radio Music Showcase, aired on June 1st and was hosted by L. Also, make sure to check out the next segment of Getting Real with Roz, which will broadcast on June 19th. And her special guest will be singer and motivational speaker, Rashawn Nicole. Getting Real with Roz broadcasts live the third Monday of each month. To my listeners, I want to wish you all a good night and have a nice evening.